It sings. Do not heed the singing of the sea. Follow only the Emperor's light. Never the song. Only the light will lead to refuge. Never the song.
Aradash Ro of House Dovar is dimly aware of the ache in his hands from holding tight to the arms of his throne, of the blood painting its way from his nose to his mouth. He tastes iron, not just from the blood, but from the ship, from the bones and skin of the Fortune's favor as the warp tides thrash against her.
Do not heed the singing of the sea. Follow only the Emperor's light. Only the light will lead to refuge.
Dovar tastes more blood then. It is warm at first, but cooling fast, turning to crystals on his skin. His eyes sting, all three of them, as the Empyrean kaleidoscopes before him.
Do not heed the singing of the sea.
He hears Captain Ark's voice, but he cannot heed her. Not now. She is distant, like the cold and the blood and so much else. It is all being drowned out by the song, growing louder and louder and louder. He is afraid that he will lose the light, so Dovar reaches for it with his mind and his sight. He even uncurls and holds out his aching hands. Dovar is the sole heir of his house. He was born to ply the tides, and he will not fail and die. Not here. Not on this ship of wastrels, for the sake of a handful of throne gelt.
Follow only the light, never the song.
Dovar finds it again, the light. A tiny pinprick, like a distant star. The tides roll high and dark and strong around it. Shapes like faces leer from the waves, and the taste of blood is overwhelming. Dovar focuses on that tiny light. He cannot breathe.
Only the light will lead to refuge.
The Way Out by Rachel Harrison. Performed by Grace Andrews, Steve Conlin, Matthew Hunt, Jonathan Keeble, Carla Mendonca, Colleen Prendergast, David Seddon, and David Sibley.
Part 1. Ambitions. By the time Dovar reaches the bridge, his nose has stopped bleeding. He has to lean on his staff to walk, though, and his eyes still sting. All three of them. Captain Karina Ark is up on her feet, as she is more often than not when on the bridge. She drums her fingers absently against the hilt of her saber.
I want to know where the hell we are right now.
Ark is scowling too. Something else she does more often than not.
Helm, report our location.
I can't, Captain. Our location is unclear.
Unclear? We are somewhere, Varro. Everything is somewhere.
There is nothing I can do, Captain. The favor is blind. Borspex is fouled. It returns naught but falsehoods and echoes.
So use your own eyes if you have to. Consult the charts. Open every long-range vox band and listen. Broadcast out if you can. Just get me an answer. And will someone please shut off those damned alarms? Suma, I'm looking at you.
At once, Captain.
The engine seer hums as she settles by the main cogitator bank. Neural cabling slithers from beneath her heavy robes and locks into sockets mounted on the face of it. The moment of connection makes the muscles misfire in the human part of Suma's face. Her lip curls. Despite that, she keeps humming. She says that it soothes the Fortune's favor. It does not soothe Dovar. Not one bit.
That's better.
If it were repaired, it would be better. This is merely quieter.
Captain, you called for me.
Ark turns that oft-present scowl on him. It pulls at the honor scar on her right cheek that she can only have earned losing a jewel.
I want to know why you dropped us from warp with no warning.
The failing was not mine. That honor belongs to this wreck of a ship. The favor could have broken apart in those tides. She is weak.
Careful, Navigator. I will have no such words about my fine lady.
Your fine lady dropped us from warp. I followed the light to safety.
Safety. Right. Looks like some kind of nowhere to me.
Duvar glares at the ship's security officer. Darrell Haritz is a tall man, built to hurt and be hurt. He is standing as if at parade rest, though he is no soldier. Not anymore. Now, Haritz is little better than a thug with a pistol. A nobody with killer's eyes.
Enough.
Aye, sir.
Can you get us back to the warp, Navigator?
Not without the drive.
Then we repair it. Suma?
Replacement dampeners and containment diodes are required. They were burned out by an excess of Imperianic feedback.
Can you do it, yes or no?
No. We do not carry replacement dampeners, nor containment diodes.
Of course we don't.
I do not see the reason for laughter.
Of course you don't. The Favor is more human than you are.
Factually incorrect, Sergeant. My body is composed of 56.4% organic components. The Favor's only organic components...
Duvar looks out into the void. Stars blink half-heartedly through thick, serpentine coils of nebula cloud.
Factually incorrect.
Duvar shudders. He tastes blood again.
Suma, Haritz, I said that's enough! God, Emperor knows my head is singing sorely enough already.
Captain, I have something. A Vox transmission from further inside the nebula.
Put it over the emitters, Varro.
Hail, travellers!
This is Captain Karina Ark of the Fortune's Favor. We are in need of dock and repair. Our warp drive has failed us and we are becalmed in the nebula. Can you assist? Do you hear us? I say again, we are in need of dock and repair. Can you assist?
I hear you, Captain Karina Ark of the Fortune's Favor. Assistance will be given gladly. Coordinates to follow. It is easy to lose yourself in the nebula. Do not stray from the path I give you.
Understood. And where exactly is it that we are heading?
Watch Station 15-8, Barthes Sector. Those who pass through call us Refuge.
Refuge.
Well, Navigator, it seems that you were right. You did find us some kind of safety.
All that Duvar can do is nod, because he has found much more than safety. It cannot be coincidence, the name of this place. It is significant. The tides might thrash and churn, but the sea always leads somewhere. Duvar has always wanted more. More than the Fortune's Favor, plying trade lanes and running pilgrimage routes. More than Ark and Haritz and Suma and the rest of them. He is Aradash Roe, sole heir of House Duvar. And he will have his due. He just has to get on board that station. Refuge Watch Station is a 1512 Jupiter pattern, a central spire surrounded by a series of habitable rings. It is an old design, and to engine seer Loni Suma, quite beautiful. Void tarnished glassaic glints in its arched viewports, all of which, save for a handful, are dark. There are berths for two ships, but they both lie empty with their umbilicals retracted. Suma suspects minor degree power failure. Perhaps some void lock. It does not diminish Refuge, though. Not one bit.
Looks as though this place has seen fighting.
Haritz has one hand on the holster of his sidearm, clicking and unclicking the fastening. Suma knows it to be a nervous habit, though he denied it when she asked. He denies a great many things.
That scoring from high-yield lasfire. And that... that almost looks like acid damage. Like it was done by something organic.
It is an after-effect of intense heat. The adamantium has reached melting point, then cooled quickly due to the ambient temperature of the void. That is why it has become reflective.
What could do damage like that? Nothing good.
There are five likely candidates for weapon damage of this type. Would you like me to list them? It is quite fascinating.
No.
Suit yourselves.
I would hardly expect to see the station undamaged. War touches every part of the Imperium, no matter how remote. Haritz, You know that better than most.
You're damned right I do.
Suma infers from Halitz's tone that the captain is referring to his service in the Astra Militarum. She cannot be certain because when she asked him about it, he refused to answer. Another denial. His refusal was illogical to Suma. She'd merely asked why he was no longer serving. What gave him his many scars? Why, periodically, he wakes at night, screaming.
We are in position, Captain. Refuge are hailing us.
Welcome, Fortune's favor. I am extending the umbilical gate.
Acknowledged, Refuge. Varro, fire the docking clamps.
Aye. Umbilical connection is reporting secure. We are tethered, Captain.
Halitz and Suma, you're with me. I don't want to be here longer than we have to. We repair, refit, and get out. If we are quick, we can still hit the trade rendezvous at the Arca Cluster and turn over our inventory. I'm sure you'd all like to get paid.
Aye, sir.
Suma experiences a momentary emotional response that she identifies as disappointment. There are so few 1512 Jupiter Patton stations remaining. She wants to see every piece of refuge station. To speak with it and know it. Not to do so would be an unacceptable waste of knowledge.
Captain, once on board, I would benefit from connection with the station for analytical purposes.
Will it take long?
No, minutes at most.
Fine then.
Ark, Captain, I would like to join you. There's nothing I can do here, but wait. I would like to see the station for myself.
He's going to get in the way.
I assure you, I won't.
You had better not. Come with us if you like, just don't stray. As I said, we aren't staying longer than we have to.
Understood, Captain.
Varro, take good care of my fine lady while I'm gone, and stay on Vox. We'll need you when it comes to refit.
Aye, Captain. I'll mind her.
All right. Let's go.
Suma looks one final time at the severely damaged exterior of the station and smiles, because soon she will know everything that there is to know about the 1512 Jupiter Patton. Soon, she will know exactly what has become of Refuge.
I don't like this. This place is dead.
The corridor that stretches out in front of Daral Halitz is narrow and dark. The deck underfoot is tarnished and there are pools of black water collecting in the corners. Disconnected cables hang in clumps from the arched ceiling. For a moment there could as well be stalactites, and this could as well be a cave. A cave like on Verdia Prime, where there were too many of those things to kill. Halitz blinks, and the cables go back to being just cables. The memory recedes. It's not gone, though. It's never gone.
I don't want to be here any more than you do, but this is about necessity, not preference. No help, no rendezvous. No rendezvous, no coin. I don't think you'd like that much either.
No, I don't think I would.
It's not really about the coin, though. Halitz has got most of what he's been paid in a tin box under his bunk back on the Favor. What Halitz cares about is routine, having a duty, or something like it.
Refuge is not dead.
Halitz looks back to see the engine seer trailing one chrome-plated hand along the wall as she speaks. The human part of her face is smiling. Dovar is behind her, dragging his feet, slowing them down, just like Halitz said he would.
The station is old, surely, but its heartbeat is even and strong. See how the overhead lumens still react to movement. The air recycling system also operates within safe parameters. Temperature registers as 6 degrees centigrade, which is above minimal standards for human occupation and considerably above what is actually required for survival.
So?
So, Refuge wakes. It breathes. Ergo, your statement that this place is dead is incorrect.
I wasn't literally talking about the station. I was talking about the crew. As in the total lack thereof.
The crew? Oh, that is unusual, yes.
Can't you scan for them or something?
I am not an Auspex.
No, an Auspex would be useful. And much quieter.
The lumens flicker off behind them as they move towards the end of the corridor and another light source, though this one is crimson and strobing. He glances off the deck and the walls and the puddles of water.
The light.
It's the first thing the navigator has said since they came on board. Dovar tries to push by, holding out a wavering hand as if he's reaching for something ahead, yearning for it.
The light. The light will lead to refuge.
Stop your damn rambling, Dovar. Don't you see what I do? Captain! They've barricaded the doors to the main station. There's no way through.
To stop us getting in?
Or to keep something from getting out.
The emergency lumen illuminates the words scrawled on the face of the doors in angry, rust-red strokes.
Too late.
I think you were right not to like this place, Halitz. We should go back to the Favor right now.
No. The hell did you just say?
We cannot leave. We have no warp capability.
I don't much care.
This cannot be all there is. I am a navigator born to seek the light. That light led me here. I refuse to leave without finding out why. Something awaits me here. Something important.
I don't much care about that either.
Ark has her sword at the navigator's throat in an instant. She's quick with a blade. Quick to use it, too.
Turn for the ship now, or my self-control might fail me.
Is that how you earned that scar, Captain? A loss of self-control?
Next time I'll do more than just knock you down, Navigator. Halitz, you're on point. Suma, drag this sorry creature with us. We are leaving.
We cannot leave, Suma. Let me go, dammit. Take your baseborn hands off me.
These hands were made by the artisans of Tarak V, Aradash Ro of House Dovar. And if you speak ill of them again, I will close them around your throat.
We cannot leave! Put me down!
Stay behind me!
I don't bloody think so. If they so much as touch my ship!
No! The damn bulkhead is sealed!
Suma, find a way to get the bulkhead open now!
There's no point. The umbilical tether is gone. We can't get back to the Favor!
Gone? It can't be gone!
Officer Halitz is correct. The emergency lighting indicates void seal measures are in place, as per protocol, when the umbilical connection is ruptured.
Karina Ark looks out through the small, dirty viewport in the bulkhead door. Nothing is left of the umbilical tether but snapped steel beams. They look like broken bones jutting out into the emptiness that now lies between the station and her ship. Even at this distance, Ark can tell that the decompression has left part of the Favor's iron skin open to the void. She puts one hand on the glass, as if she could take hold of her ship and comfort it. With her other hand, she activates the vox bead at her throat.
Varro, do you read? We cannot reach the Favor. Please acknowledge.
Wattle, quiet.
Varro, do you read? What the hell happened?
I don't know. All was quiet, and then it wasn't. Such shaking and that noise. So loud.
Are you hurt?
I don't think so. Not badly. It's just the noise. It was so loud. It is so loud. Ringing in my ears.
Where are you? The bridge?
No. I'm in the engine room.
Will the Favor still sail?
Yes, I think so.
Varro, I need you to listen to me carefully. You have to go back to the bridge and bring the Favor around to the other berth so that we can board.
We're leaving?
Yes.
Captain, no, we can't.
Say again.
We cannot leave.
Varro, this isn't a discussion. I'm ordering you to bring my ship around. We need to get out of here.
I can't. Sir, it's too late.
Varro, listen to me.
Too late.
Willem, listen to me. I need you to calm down. What do you mean, too late?
To undo what's done. But you know that well enough, don't you? After what happened to Inari, after what you did.
What did you just say?
I don't know, Captain.
Throne, damn it, Varro, I will not have this. Get yourself back to the bridge right now and bring my ship around.
I'm sorry, Captain. I can't.
Varro! He just shot himself.
Captain, the ship!
By the Emperor!
Mercy of the Machine God!
As the Fortune's Favor tears itself apart, Ark feels torn apart too. She cannot move. Even when the second docking arm splinters, and what is left of her fine lady lists away to be swallowed by the nebula cloud.
Now what do we do?
Ark curls her hand and lets it fall away from the viewport.
We find another way off this throne-forsaken station.